You're listening to Mockingbird. This recording was made at the 8th Annual Mockingbird Conference, held at Calvary St. George's Church in New York City.
So I'm Mel Smith, and I run the kids programming here at Calvary St. George's. And we run Sunday school, and we run a creative arts camp, and I've been doing it for about 5 years now, I want to say. So that's just a little bit me.
Yeah, I'm Jackie DeMarco. I assist Melina with Sunday school development and coordinating, and I also am the founder and director of an after-school program here, which is a ministry of Calvary St. George's Church called Turtle Dove Children. So we are in partnership with the Jack and Jill School that the church also sponsors, and this is the classroom that we play in, and I also teach yoga to the kids during the school day, which is a lot of fun. And my background is I've been teaching creative dramatics for about 10, or well now probably more. More than that. That's who I am in a nutshell.
Yeah. So I have a 7.5-year-old and a 5-year-old. And so when we first started coming to this parish, they had about one Sunday school classroom. And as my kids got older and I realized they would be in a Sunday school format at some point, I got involved with the Sunday school. So come on in. You can also grab some chairs if there's some right there. Great. So that's how I got involved with the Sunday school program. And when I began to take a look at what was out there, we've done Godly Play, we've done a variety of different programs. I think the main thing that I took away was that it didn't feel individualized, and it didn't feel like we found anything that sort of served the whole person. And so we've been creating our own content since I've been running the program. And one of the main things that I wanted to focus in on was this idea that we're, you know, obviously we all want our kids to be Christians and we want them to be strong and safe and all these things. But I think with that comes a heavy burden and a heavy feeling of responsibility. So that can carry through into the classroom, I think, often, and into curriculum, into programming, really feeling like we have to get it right, we have to communicate it in a way that they actually believe it, and then they're going to be safe, and they're going to be Christians, and they're going to change the world. And I think that's a big burden. And so we wanted to take a look at the curriculum and programming in a way that said, you know, these are not our kids, they're God's kids. And so we're just, what does it look like if we feel that they're free and that they belong to God? And how would our curriculum look like if we approached it in that way? So,
woo! Oh, yeah, this party, come on in.
That's been my approach in the developing of the curriculum and programming, is to look at the programming in a way and say, is this something that feels like we feel free and we don't feel burdened and responsible for the individual salvation of every kid that walks through this door? And in that, I think you're able to play and you're able to be much freer and you're loose in the classroom, and your teachers are freer, and they don't feel so burdened. And so that's our approach. And so one of the main things that we also look at is narrative, the overarching narrative of the redemptive story. And so in each individual story that we present, the redemption story is clearly in everything we do. Mm-hmm. And so Jackie's thing is focused in on that. And so it's been really fun. Do you want to chat about the
narrative? Yeah, sure. Well, basically, I think it would be fun to focus on what we do for our vacation Bible school, for instance. We actually call it Creative Arts Camp, and it's a week-long interactive storytelling experience where we invite any child who would like to sign up for free. And what's really interesting is that over the past 5 years, since Mel and I have kind of joined forces, it went from, I think the first year was like 12 kids.
Yes. And one family has 7 kids.
We're like, the Marimotas better sign up, please.
And we did use, I will say we were not on that team. It was some sort of curriculum that they bought online, and we were trying to do it so hard, but yeah. It just didn't work.
And you know, it's you try things and you figure out what works, and I think we also realize the timing of the program. Vacation Bible School during the summer can be a little tricky because people go away, etc. What we, eventually grew into was this week-long program where over 100 children have been signing up now for the past 3 years, which is like, I can't even believe that I just said that. It's wild. It's an interactive storytelling experience. So basically, we choose a story from the Bible each year, and we develop either an original play that we have our volunteers perform, or this year we're doing a shadow puppet show. And basically we strive to engage all of the children and, I mean, volunteers and adults as well, engage them in the wonder of the story. And that is kind of, I think, leading us to the idea of imagination. In order to connect with a story, you have to really enter the story and imagine it. So I think that's like where my world as a creative drama teacher comes in, because the power of dramatic play is very real. And, immersing oneself in a story, acting or playing make-believe or a child playing a role or a character is really an invitation to expand your ability to recognize the world from a different perspective. I think what we do in Creative Arts Camp is allow the children to, without pressure, invite the children to partake in this world of wonder and get excited about it. Because so often, I know my Sunday school experience growing up was very like, this is your homework this week, memorize this verse, this is the Lord's Prayer, memorize it. And like, I love memorizing stuff, don't get me wrong. Like, I know the Lord's Prayer because I learned it when I was 5 years old, and we're all about memorizing prayers and whatnot in our curriculum, but that's not the main focus. That's not what everything revolves around. I think our curriculum really revolves around participating, and the teachers are not telling God's story, but inviting the children to experience God's story. There's a real distinction there. During our Creative Arts Camp, we lead the children along in the story, and it becomes a journey. Last year, we did Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And, I think there is a real truth in all of these stories. We also did Jonah. And what the kids, I think, at the end of this week walk away with, besides having the original song that we wrote stuck in their head. I feel like it's still stuck in my head. I think what they walk away with and what they can continue to grow with as the years go on is the value in the truth of these stories. So you know, in their darkest moments in their life, they can remember, well, I don't have to be afraid. Because, you know, Joseph was afraid, Jonah was afraid, and there's a rescuer there that is for me always, no matter what. And, you know, I think through imagining and immersing yourself in the story, you can really connect with that mm-hmm. in a way that you're not going to connect with by, like, filling out a worksheet.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I, Jackie does a brilliant job at this, and I think the teachers do too. And invitation into the story is so different because we're not focused in on what, you know, the kids seem to let go of, well, what does it really mean that a man was in a whale, you know? Or what does it really mean that, I mean, any of these implausible scenarios, they're not focused in on those details. They're focused in on how does this connect to myself and as individuals. So I think we should show the video.
Yeah, yeah. It really speaks for itself. We could talk for on and on and on. Hey Naya, you wanna hit the lights? Oh, let's make it a little louder too. Oh, I think if you make it louder on the computer, and then let's just...
...transfer into Egypt, ancient Egypt, and they arrive and they're greeted by Miss Jackie and Mr. Matt. I am the host of Creative Arts Camp. I wrote an original script based on the story of Joseph. So each day they get to hear what happened to Joseph and who is this Joseph. It's an interactive storytelling experience.
Would it be a big deal if there was a famine? For 10 years?
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. And of course we learned our original song that Matt Billigdon wrote.
I think that melodies are a great way to remember words and to remember concepts. So if nothing else, I hope that the song just drills the weeds into their heads and they really take it away and it's always good.
When they arrive to class, they are warmly greeted with a snack and just have a time to decompress and to think through what they've just heard and what they've learned. And they're learning great new words like loyalty. What does it mean to be betrayed? What does it mean to be jealous? Sometimes I feel envious of my brother. What do I do with that? And so this is an opportunity for them to think about these things and to talk them through with a teacher. Each day, the kids have a craft, and the craft enhances the story. So the first day, they made beautiful Joseph tunics.
We're making coats like those.
One day, Pharaoh had a crazy dream, so he sent for Joseph, and Joseph told him what the dream meant.
And at the end, he finally sees that God has worked everything out for the good, and he's had a plan this whole time.
God is in every situation, and even though we don't know how he's working things out for the good, he is. No matter what happens in our life, the good, the bad, the ugly, that God really can use it all. And I think that there's a direct correlation between imagination and faith. At the end of the week, what we hope that the kids remember, our verse, what was intended for evil, God redeems, and God makes good.
If something really bad happens to you, God's gonna turn that into something amazing.
Even when people do you wrong, don't do all back to them, but be yourself.
You should forgive people even if they did a really bad thing to you.
So always forgive your siblings and friends, and even if you don't feel like it, you can just pray and ask God to help you, and hopefully that will help you a little.
And so it's in encounter life and whatever difficulties may come, that they would remember that God is always at work in their lives, continuing to redeem their situations, just like Joseph. We have a forgiving prince, and he's for them now and always.
So awesome.
Thank you for your support and for being a part of Creative Arts Camp.
Yeah. I just also had this thought. I think that there is a real call for the church to go out and engage in new ways. And the church can no longer be a gathering of the saved because that no longer works. A church now is a gathering of the senses, and we as members really exist for the benefit of non-members. And I think that that idea speaks directly to children's ministry. Christians are formed, not born, and formation is a mission in and of itself. And what is so cool about this program that Melina directs is that, like, so often kids have come in and then, like, and their parents, you know, they don't even go to church. They just see, you know, a flyer, come join us for Creative Arts Camp.
It's free.
It's free. And the parents are like, nice, I don't have to be with my kids for 2 hours a day or whatever. But, you know, then they start to see what's going on in the building and they're like, what is this? And there have been a number of families that have joined us on Sundays through Creative Arts Camp. So
definitely we always choose stories that are in the Old Testament so that families who are Jewish or Muslim would feel comfortable with these Abrahamic stories and they can bring the kids. You know, we're in an urban setting, so we're obviously pretty diverse, and so we have to keep things broad, and we're always looking to engage and surprise, and if the kids are hooked in, the families will be hooked in, and that's how we've experienced growth here at our church too. And I'll definitely say that we did start with 15, and so this has taken 5 years, and it's definitely, you know, it's been exciting to see, but it has taken time, so this doesn't just happen overnight.
And, you know, I think it's also what Creative Arts Camp and Sunday School year-round has provided for us as older people. I'm like, am I an adult yet? But us as adults is that I'm like forever 8 years old in my mind. But I think what it provides all of us is like just a community friend. And Melina is legit one of my best friends now. And like, we were, you know, kind of buddies 5 years ago, but like, if I don't talk to her every day, I'm like, so I think that friendships have grown, and it just really special things come out of this that is beyond everyone's expectations.
One thing that we did do, this is a Mockingbird plug for sure, but this last year we took the book of the Eden and Afterward book that Will wrote, which is an amazing book, and I highly recommend it for churches, buying it for your curriculum and your teachers, and we read through it as teachers together. And then we formatted the curriculum to meet the needs of our kids. And so we used that throughout the year. And we were going to do Noah this summer, but because we did Eden and Afterward, and we're so inspired by creation, we're doing creation. So we're doing a shadow puppet show.
Yeah, we actually put together a little slideshow of some behind-the-scenes pictures from our shadow puppet shoot, which was a couple of weeks ago. And I will just say that when we were really inspired by this YouTube video that we came across that was like this really like well-produced shadow puppet film. And we're like, oh, well, we should do that. And then we start, you know, organizing our thoughts, and we're like, oh my gosh, we we're not going to be able to pull this off at all. Started to feel, well, actually, I should, Mel always thought we would be able to pull it off. And that's why she is the glue of this program.
We can do this.
Super positive. But, you know, we all came together and we used our resources. I had a friend who is a filmmaker, and he was more than willing to volunteer his time with his, you know, crew. And we have some very talented... Ooh. Here we go. This will speak for it. Open it up to Q&A if you guys have any questions, and also I would like to say that we have curriculum, and if you want to talk to us afterwards, we're happy to share it with you. And we have 5 summers of creative arts camp, and it includes music and story and the whole thing. So, yeah.
How many people are involved in putting the camp on?
I would say that we've definitely grown, but there's a core of us, and it's really 12 people, I would say. We have somebody who's, I write the curriculum, and then we have Ginger Oaks, who develops the craft idea for what we're going to do, and then Jackie's the MC, and she writes the play and the drama for what we'll have, and then we have Matt, who does the music, and... I mean, we're actually a small team. We have a lot of helping hands in the end, and we have in terms of teachers about 12 teachers, and I oversee those individuals. So I would say that you can work well with small numbers, and you can do big things. So we're not a huge team. So people come in and out. We understand time, and in New York, people don't have that much time, and so we try to make things as accessible and volunteer-friendly as possible.
I think it's all about planning ahead, too.
Yeah.
So I think we had our first meeting for this year's Creative Arts Camp, which happens at the end of June, in, like, November, but it was really just an excuse for us to all hang out.
Dinner.
We're like, let's just hang out, and then we can start to talk about Creative Arts Camp. And the planning process starts early, so nobody feels super overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Any thoughts?
How are you guys doing in your churches?
How do you structure Sunday school with Sunday service?
So what we have going on is, so what we do in Sunday, on a given Sunday, is that the kids are dismissed after they sing the Gloria. Is that right, Kevin? Is it called Gloria? Yeah. So before they do the reading, the kids are excused, and we all go downstairs, and then they have their class, and then we come back up for communion, and so we all have communion together.
How much time is that?
I would say it's about 25 minutes of actual classroom time. The other thing that we did this year that seemed to work really well and to keep families engaged is that we offered two six-week courses for our middle schoolers. We did a confirmation course, and we did it in a way I thought that was that would have been great for an adult to attend. So they had their own individual brunch, like a really nice brunch, and they had a class together. And so they took it serious. And we also had a first communion class, and so that kept
it worked really well because it kept kids engaged in education, and then parents could go to their own adult ed classes.
So that was after church?
So it's after church, right after church.
And how, when you bring the kids back up during or before communion, how is that?
It's chaos. It's happy. Yeah. It's running. It's waving. Yeah.
It's special.
It's special. I mean, I think it's actually very sweet. So I think it's just kind of gives life to the whole congregation. Mm-hmm. So,
it does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like what you said, Jackie, about wonder. I think it's super important because as adults, I think that just dissipates after a long time after getting cynical and just exposed to the world, or, you know, just jaded. But I think, you know, imagination plays so much in that. And something I always wonder is, I think that, you know, we're gifted, specifically here, with having space. And especially for children, I think that space is very formative. And like the environment you're in, you know, whereas elsewhere people have nature, nature and like backyards, but you know, it's not hard to just kind of, you know, let your imagination grow in that way. But what role do you think space has in imagination?
I think it plays a huge role. I like one thing that I love to do, and I know a lot of the teachers do too, is create environments where they're surprised, not in a scary way, but in a wonder way. Like, oh, I didn't expect the classroom to have these things hanging this week. Oh, what are we doing? So then they're already engaged. We've already got them locked in. That's one major part of what we do for camp, is changing Anderson Hall into the Belly of a Whale or a Narnia. This year we're doing creation, so I think space plays a huge role. I think what we also do that's different from probably one thing that we're doing different that's like a little old school is that we're not focused on entertaining the kids, but engaging the kids. So we do play some games with kids, but we're not super focused on like Friday family game night. You know, so it's just sort of, we have a different focus, but
yeah, I think it also kind of speaks to like the idea of dramatic plays, like you are entering into that world and playing within that world. So as for space, it's just another way to completely immerse yourself. I mean, also costumes are really fun.
So I feel like what I'm hearing you say is that by sort of surprising them and engaging curiosity, you can lead them to imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, I mean, I have a friend who studied art and how people label themselves as not creative.
Yeah.
And they don't recognize ways in which they are already creative.
Sure.
So I wonder, what are ways that you take the kids who maybe are kind of like art camp,
yeah,
you know, and get them to... beyond space, what are roadblocks that you face and ways that you get them
engaged?
Yeah.
I mean, there are definitely kids that aren't, you know, I don't know, we don't have that many kids that are not into it, but this year we're definitely going to do with the older kids, like the fourth and fifth graders, since we are doing creation, we're going to do science experiments with them in their classes. We're also going to be creating dioramas throughout the week. And so I think that those are sort of tricks in them thinking they're not maybe doing crafts exactly,
but adults
learning something. And one thing that a lot of adults say to us too is like, oh, I'm not that crafty or I'm not that artsy. And I think we all are. So I think,
I think it's also about setting the children up for success. So, and it goes for the volunteers too. Like everybody has a gift to offer, and you know, while you know maybe one child won't be as connected to the idea of making a diorama, but maybe that child is like a little bit older than some of the other kids and is like a leader in certain ways and wants to help, mentor. So there's like all these different ways that you can engage kids, I think.
And I would say Sunday, on a Sunday, we have a handful of older boys, and so they prefer to be acolytes. Uh-huh. And I think that's a way to keep them engaged in church. And they let them light things on fire, and they do things that engage them. There are just some different ways to plug them in if they're not necessarily into Sunday school anymore.
Oh, thank you. This is a little off topic, but I'm curious. When you have children, and maybe you don't, with some perhaps a physical challenge or a developmental challenge like ADHD, how do you handle that? Have you worked some kind of a method of handling it?
Yeah, we do. Actually, one of our main volunteers is an occupational therapist, and she's been really great to work with a variety of kids and identifying issues that we may have. At Creative Arts Camp, we've been really fortunate in having a class for kids who fall within the spectrum of autism. But these are just volunteers who have their own kids in that, find themselves in that theme of life. And so they have volunteered. And so we have not had any issues in that regard. What terrifies me are allergies. That is what I worry about the most. So,
if I can help in any way, whether financially or spiritually, with children born on the spectrum, I myself have Asperger's.
And
some way I can help.
There's plenty of ways to help for sure. We're going to chat.
You had one question back there.
Yeah, I was just curious. You said that you take the approach of engaging kids instead of entertaining kids.
Yeah.
And I know that for many churches, it's a struggle once confirmation happens to see those kids again.
Disappear.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was wondering if your approach, have you seen it, has that changed that dynamic to where people hit confirmation, do they stick around?
Yeah, we definitely do. I think that, one of the links has been engaging the parents and the kids simultaneously, so they're all hooked in. I would say that our kids have developed their own community amongst themselves that is pretty strong, and I think they want to see each other. So that's a huge draw. I also think that they're plenty entertained, and so when they come, it's this whole other thing. So, keeps them in.
And again, I've found that a lot of our older kids are really interested in mentoring the younger kids.
Yeah. And the other thing we've done with the older kids at the 9:30 service, our really early service, well, it feels early to me, but we have integrated them as readers. So even if they're just first graders and they're struggling to read, I mean, it's adorable. And they go up there and they read, and as they get older, they continue to do that. And I think that that's definitely a way to keep them hooked in. Also, having older kids do prayers with the people is just really dear. So we're involving them at the 9:30 service too. For the kids that are kind of like 11 and 12,
tweens. I'm curious about two things. One that you said in the beginning, Jackie, about engaging senses, that it's a sensory thing that we're looking for here, but also how you do that in 25 minutes when the kids come down.
That's a great question. I think it starts from as soon as the kids stand up and march out there, out the church to the Sunday school classrooms. I think that that's
I think it's one of the benefits of being in a liturgical service. So you've already got the drama with the beginning of it, right? And so it's thematic, and then they all march out together, and then we sing together, and then we all split up and go to our classrooms. The classrooms are already prepared. They're totally prepped, and they're just sort of, they're used to what we do. So they read a story, they do a prayer, and they're curious as to what the craft or whatever it's going to be, or game, and then they come back up.
There's a physicality to it, I think.
We move a lot.
Yeah, we move a lot, you know, sometimes in the beginning of class, and it all depends on the teacher and the population the teacher's working with in her classroom, but, like, sometimes we'll stretch to, like, get our bodies warmed up and you know, ready for whatever we have planned that day. And then, really, I think, like, the biggest kicker is an element of surprise. So that just kind of keeps everybody on their toes and not knowing what to expect next. Whether it be working with different, you know, art materials, or, you know, learning a new song, or playing a memorization game, like all those different things, we really like to switch it up. So there's definitely a structure and a rhythm that is very familiar that the kids are used to, but then it is still totally different and new each week.
So when the classrooms are prepped, I mean, can you just say more about that?
During the week?
Yeah, we prep them out during the week, so then they get to class and...
But meaning, like, you have all the crafts ready.
Everything's...
I noticed you lit a candle in here before we came.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And just set the mood. The classrooms are all set up, so the crafts are on the table. And, like, there's not that much time, so we have to be super organized, and nobody's really fumbling around for materials and things. Like, everything is laid out on those tables, exactly what they need, so they can get right to it and just get moving. And then we have communion together, so that's, you know, we eat together every week, and that's pretty important.
In the class?
Wait. No, we don't have communion in class.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They go back together with our families. Yeah, Sarah.
So, one thing that... I noticed, like, with Creative Arts Camp and with Sunday School, and I think I've talked to you about this before, is that, like, I think the thought process behind it is really, I mean, it's really sophisticated, but the execution of it is, like, not exactly simple, but it's, like, very, like, when you talked about it not being entertainment and being engaging, like, it's been so neat after being at different churches in different areas to see that it's not like trying to do 12 different things in the Sunday school hour and, like, move the children from, like, a craft they're not done with to, you know, it's like, it's not based on programs. It's based on, like, you said, like, a redemptive narrative.
Yeah.
And that has been really powerful in my kids' life. So... I don't know. I think that's just a really unique thing about God's children's ministry.
But that's the main thing. We try to keep the main thing, you know.
And I think sometimes people just kind of overthink it and try to do
too many things. I think part of that has to do with your ethos too, and coming at it and feeling a burden and responsibility to these individuals. Like, you're in charge of them and their salvation. And that's a huge burden. That's huge. And so I think that being free of that is just, you're free to be creative.
Mm-hmm. And this is the book we use.
The Sally Lloyd, yeah.
Sally Lloyd-Jones, the Jesus Storybook Bible, which is, the kids love it. I mean, the
Jago's
illustrations.
An amazing illustrator. Yeah.
Are great. And Sally has such a gift for words and just taking, telling the story in a way that is easy to understand and true. She, you know, kids are smart,
yeah,
and they deserve to know the truth. And she tells them the truth in this book. And I also read it, like, when I'm alone. Right, it's so good. You know, I'll, like, read the Bible, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm missing something here, and then I'll read this, and then I'll read...
I'm so glad you said that.
Jake even said, he's like, sometimes before I write my sermon, like, he'll read this right here. So I highly recommend this anyway.
I feel like that's a huge, like, part of it too, storytelling. Like, yes. To answer your question about what do you do when someone's not crafty or whatnot, And I like I had firsthand experience with this because I think my strength with children is like in that age where they're forming their imagination, like ages 2 to 4, typically, because their attention spans like you know, everywhere. But I think if you engage with them in a way that's very like coaxing them to think about things that they didn't even think, but I think animatedness as well, almost a theatrical sort of take on this, really allows for their story for them to provide sort of a basis almost for them to like allow their imagination to launch off. But I don't know, like I remember last year was like real intense. It was the Jonah and the Whale. And it was, you know, like all these kids not understanding, not understanding, you know, just the concept of the story of, yes, like a man and a whale. But even like kids asking questions like, how is that like physically possible? You know, and really just touching upon every point you can to allow them to sort of allow their imagination to even bring it into the real world, if that makes sense. Because there's so many, I feel like, things in the Bible that when you're a kid, it's all good and fun because you can imagine it as like, just like, you know, play even in your mind. But then when you come into the real world, there's these supernatural elements that you can't even like put together with how did that actually happen in God's world.
Mm-hmm.
So even exploring questions like that, which I think add that element of surprise, where, you know, allowing them to grow comfortable and patient with these sort of touch points in the Bible.
Totally. There's so many things that we can't, that we will never be able to explain, that are, there's no way that we can prove, you know, so many things. And I think that that's just going to be a theme in everyone's life till the day they die. And, you know, in children's ministry, if we can introduce them to the idea of impossible ideas or things that we can't explain, if we can introduce them to that in a loving, positive, fun way, then they will carry that through their whole life.
Yep, absolutely. That's the hope, so. So we come at it from a place of hope and not fear.
Right.
And not obligation, but...
I came in right as you were saying that. Like, how do you, like, free yourself from that burden of, like, being stressed out about it? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you,
I guess,
did you change?
Well, I guess I just think about myself, you know, as individuals, and you just think, well, he had me, so why not Sophia?
Right.
You know, and so why not, you know, any of these kids, or, you know, when they're good and they're bad, like, why not?
So, and I think you have to remind yourself of
you
that.
You have constantly. Because that's why we are also, the teachers are educating ourselves all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And like you eating up the Mockingbird content to remind ourselves of these truth stories.
And why I have Melina on speed dial. I'm like, can you remind me that, you know, I'm not in control of everything?
I mean, I think that it's an impossible thing, you know, but I think it's something to actually... If we actually say it and talk about it and think about it, then, you know, then there's a possibility of being more free with our kids and the kids that we have in our purview. But, yeah, and we also, you know, they've been baptized and they're sealed. And so he's going to carry them through.
I think just, like, to speak to that a little bit, too, like, the idea that, you know, it's, we're not in control of it, allows us more imagination and play as like leaders too. Like I work as an art therapist and I'm working with kids a lot of times too. And like, I mean, it can be a lot of pressure, but at the same time, like, you know, we have to remember also that like play is very important for our lives and like imagination and yeah, so just that came
forward. Thank you.
So true. So what you cannot deny play. I wrote that down during Jamin's talk because it's just something to remind yourself of. You can't deny that.
Do you guys have any other thoughts or questions? Well, we can say a little prayer and, you know, and if you guys want to talk to us individually about curriculum or
access to any of the things that we're putting on, we're happy to share. So we have great songs. Dear Holy Father, we're just so grateful for you and what you do in our lives. And we just pray, God, that you would continue to encourage us and remind us that we are yours and that the kids are yours too. And we pray, God, that we would share your gospel message and that would be the truth that we give to them in the Sunday school rooms and in our everyday. And we lift all these things to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There you go.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. This is our first. Yeah, really.